reconvene the hearing now, so could I ask you all to take a seat, please? And at this stage of the process, what we're doing as a panel is we're addressing questions of clarification to the officers in terms of the answers they've given to our written questions on the reply report. So, Lloyd, we'll start at your end of the panel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I only have one, and that would be, could we please have a map showing the 200 metre line across the southern region? It's unclear to us just where the 200 metres is. That's my only question. Apart from that, I found a very useful unit reply, I think.
Okay, well, we'll prepare that and attach it to a further memorandum of council to be filed with any other information which you request.
And sorry, reporting officers, I forgot that the first thing I was going to ask you to do was to read out that objective 16 and tell us where the comma should go. So we'll just defer our further questions for a second, and if we can get objective 16 in front of us. Just a second. Right, if you could just read through it and tell us where the recommended commas are to go.
Yes, Ms. Weiss will read that into the record.
Okay.
Public access to.
And
a long, a comma there as well.
So a comma after a long?
Yes.
Yeah.
And river and lake beds is maintained. That next comma should be deleted.
Yeah.
And enhanced, and a comma added there as well.
So a comma after enhanced?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Sorry,
Lord,
any further questions?
No.
Just one, thank you, and very helpful responses. And I'm just trying to find the rule now, but you had some comment about the exclusion of deer feeding pads. I just wondered, have you any measure on how widespread that activity is? Self-fed.
I don't know if I'll ask Mr. Morgan to come up and he might be able to discuss that more.
Thanks.
Yep, come on up.
So I understand the question is how common deer feeding on self-fed silage stacks.
Yeah, in the Southland Environment Council area.
Yes. Well, it's obviously not as common as cattle feeding on self-fed silage pads, and to my knowledge, there are a small number of self-fed silage pads. I would consider that the Lancet Stonebury team have probably looked at somewhere between a dozen and 20. Somewhere in that order.
Okay.
And as has been fed back to the commissioners today, they tend to be smaller self-feed operations, often located on higher rocky ground, usually with a reasonable amount of runoff around the self-feed silage pad where the deer can wander around freely and loaf, so they're not confined to the self-feed silage pad, as is evident with a lot of the cattle operations. We've also noted that there may well be some self-feed silage pads on less than suitable rocky type terrain that we'll have to keep a close eye on.
Okay. Work in progress.
Definite numbers.
Thank you. That's just an indication. That's what I was like. Thank you, Chair.
No questions.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Just about rule 60, I'm not sure if the appropriate start here, but I thought that the answer was still a little bit vague. There are a number of rules in there. Conditions in that rule which seem to address the issues that have been raised in the answer about them being washed away. And is it possible to be more specific about the problems that are not addressed in the conditions that are already there that would make a dam that's between 2 and 4 metres much more risky or liable to cause a problem than dams less than 2 metres long or high? The answer, just with the answer, on top of page 27, the second paragraph says this material may include organic matter, inappropriate soil such as silts, and is unlikely to be tested for its suitability or properly compacted. There's no evidence that's been provided to actually assist in that area, and that I'm aware that a number of dams between 2 and 4 metres have been built without an engineer's certificate that have not, in the past, that have not failed or have not caused any problems because they are subject to the other conditions in that rule which exists at the moment in the existing plan.
So officers, do you understand the question, or do you like
yes.
the commissioner to repeat the question, the actual question?
It would be helpful if the question could be put in a direct, in a more succinct okay. way, because we may need to obtain a written memorandum from the council engineer yeah. who hasn't assisted us with the answer to this question. Okay.
Could the officer provide evidence that dams built between 2 and 4 metres already, that are already in existence, have caused problems that would necessitate an engineer to certify them in the future, when those in the past appear to have been safe? So if there are some that have collapsed in the past that they're aware of, that it would be evidence to show that the caution that they express is justified.
So just what you think, I've got a question of clarification for the question. So Commissioner Rodway, does your question apply to existing dams or future dams?
The existing dams are an example, just using them as an example. In my understanding anyway, from the evidence presented by Fish and Game.
No, this is your concern about existing yeah, ones or future ones?
The reason for mentioning existing ones is that they provide evidence that there is no need for an engineer certificate for dams of this nature, because they've been in place for a number of years and haven't collapsed.
Sorry, but I don't understand if you want the officers to come back and address problems with existing dams or problems with future dams.
Well, if there have been examples of existing dams or dams have been put up in the past that have collapsed, I think that would be evidence to show that there is a need to change the rule from what it currently is to only 2 metres.
Are you clear on the question, officers?
I think so, and I think I can provide some, I can verbally advise the discussion we had with council's engineer on this very topic yesterday.
Okay.
And if you then want some more detail following that, if it's my response is not satisfactory, then we could go and get a written response from him. In the discussion yesterday, we put that very question to him, right. And his advice was that in many situations, the failure of one of these dams, he didn't have any that he could identify that had failed that he was aware of. Mm-hmm. He then said that sorry, his local failures. There certainly did appear to be ones failed elsewhere that he was aware of elsewhere outside of the region.
Right.
The second element was his view that many of these are quite remote and can be quite small. If it failed, the farmer would, it might damage some property on the specific property that it was on, but no one else may know about it effectively, and if it failed, then the farmer might just cease using it.
Right.
Build a new one somewhere else, that kind of thing.
Okay.
So that was the advice we got yesterday.
Okay, that's helpful, Mr. Chairman. You probably don't need to do anything more than that. I think that's helpful. I had one other, Mr. Chairman, and that relates to the limit for cultivation, 700 versus 800 metres. And that 700 was advertised. And in response to a question on page 20, actually from Mr. McCallum, you just say that 800 metres is correct. What do you mean by why is 800 metres correct and not 700 metres?
I was meaning in there that within that rule there is, in the track changes version of the plan, there is reference in one part of the rule to 800 metres and in the second part of the rule to 700 metres.
Yeah.
That second reference to 700 should be corrected to 800.
Yep, that's good, thank you.
And I have no further questions or clarification. Thank you very much to the reporting team. At the conclusion of the hearing of submissions a month or so ago, I thanked, in their absence, all of the submitters that have taken the effort to submit on the plan and come to the hearing to present evidence. I thank them for their contributions and stress the importance of what they said to us would be and how it would be taken into account in our deliberations. Now I'd just like to extend the same degree and level of thanks to the reporting officers for the work that you've done prior to the hearing, during it, and as part of this reply. We do appreciate the effort you've gone to and acknowledge the willingness that you've shown to respond to issues raised by submissions and by the panel and not be wedded to initial views, but to have an open mind on things, and we do appreciate that. To the rest of the people in the room, what happens now is that we adjourn the hearing. And we enter into our deliberations phase. That's where we take the reply report and the latest version of the track changes to the plan, and we as a panel discuss the submissions lodged and the evidence presented and decide as a panel whether or not we agree with the staff recommendations or if we come to a different conclusion based on the evidence we've heard, and what, if any, further changes to the plan that we as a panel think should be made, either to improve it or to respond to submissions. As you might appreciate, that process takes some time, and so we don't anticipate releasing our written decision until early next year. So thank you all very much, and that concludes the public part of the hearing.
Thank you.